How's everyone doing today? All right, all right. I want to say happy birthday to our prodigal son leader, Mikey. Happy birthday, Mikey. And now the prodigal sons are here today dressed up. And happy birthday, Mike. And praise God. I'm excited about what God is doing right now. How many love Jesus with all of your heart? Yes, amen. And I'm excited about you, and I'm excited that you're here to worship God with us. And it's so beautiful to see you. And for those that are at home watching us online, we love you, and thank you for connecting. I just want to say I'm very, very grateful. I saw some of you online just before I came up, and I just want to say thank you for staying connected with us. And so stay tuned in this message, just as everybody here is staying tuned. Amen. So praise God. So many great things happening. We are pressing forward, amen, as a church, as a ministry, as a people. We're pressing forward. And, you know, a few weeks ago, some folks were a little confused because we've been open. This is our 10th week, and we've had no issues being open, right? We are fully committed to managing this pandemic and not allowing this pandemic to manage us. I won't be controlled by it anymore. And so we're going to manage. We're going to be in control. So what that meant a few weeks ago, probably think 3 or 4 weeks ago, I started getting some texts from folks. Say, hey, Bishop, I'm not feeling good or this and that, you know. And I noticed a few people, you know, but folks are out and about now. They're at family things, events, or they're you know, camping or wherever. They're all over the grocery stores. And so noticing that, I have a few different phone calls and a few different texts. I said, all right, we're going to shut church down for 1 week. That's called managing the pandemic. Nobody got infected here, and there's no outbreaks taking place at our church. But we decided to manage it and say, we're going to shut down for 1 week, put 14 days between all of us, bend that curve back down, and give all of our folks the ability to get healthy again, and that's what's happened. Amen. So all of the people that we had in our church that had been infected with the virus, thank God they're all doing great. Many of them are here this morning, and we're so honored that, you know, especially Pastor Henry, I know his family was hit really hard. All of them did fine, including Pop, right? But you were hit the hardest. You were hit the hardest. But every moment, even when he went to the hospital just for... He checked in, saw the war zone there at the hospital. He's texting me. He said, forget this, Bishop. I'm going to start praying for folks, you know. And we stayed the course. And I'm proud of you, Pastor Henry. And in the name of Jesus, you took down COVID. Amen. Praise God. Come on. Amen. For myself, just on that note there, I decided to get tested. Not the test. Nobody was sticking anything up my nose. I got bad sinuses anyway. So I don't need anybody activating these sinuses in me, right? I got sinuses all year round. That's just my life since I was a little boy. But I knew I was pretty sick in February, and then early last month I caught a cold. But I catch colds all the summertime, and so I didn't want to panic about anything, right? I locked myself down, even for my girls. When they came over, I locked myself in the room, made sure everything was good. So I thought, I'm going to take the antibody test. And so I did that. I took the antibody test. It's at different labs throughout the valley. Not at the Kaiser wouldn't do it, but so I went to a lab and paid $49 and took the antibody test. And lo and behold, I have the antibodies. And so, what does that mean? That means that I can donate plasma to somebody who's really sick with COVID. And so I'm planning on doing that. So anybody else who has come through COVID, if you consider taking the antibody test, you go to LabCorp, you take the test online, and then you can go to a lab. It's only $49, and they bill your insurance from there. But at that point, you can give blood, and that to me, we can really help somebody who is really struggling with COVID, who's on a ventilator. They give them the plasma, and they're up and going the next day. That's been the report anyway. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that we say that we want to make sure that we manage this pandemic and we attack the heck out of this thing. Amen. I love the fact that many of you are praying and still coming against it and binding it and loosing it. I'm so happy about that. And thank you for staying the course. Amen. We've been talking about going forward, and we were already talking about the last quarter of the year. And we got some major things that we have to talk about. You know, for instance, just around the corner, a couple of weeks away, is our church picnic. Doesn't look like we're going to be able to go through with that this year. Just another sacrifice that we have to make. But beyond that, we got October coming, which is our puppet master. And then beyond that, the first week of December is Grinch. Now, if you've seen Grinch, we've had 2,000 people packed in this place per night. I mean, it's phenomenal. Well, obviously, we can't do that, and we're going to limit our seating, and we're going to reserve. It's going to be free. Puppet and Grinch will be free, and we're going to limit it to 300 people. And we're talking about, you know, the big worry is cast and crew. That's the big worry, because they're backstage around everybody. So we had a meeting with our production crew. We're talking about managing this pandemic. And we talked about doing different things like having scenes just with families who are together. So instead of having a big crew, we'll do family scenes. And so they're in the same household. And so anyway, keep that in prayer. And we're going forward, and we're planning to win souls and not allow this pandemic to manage us, but we're going to manage the pandemic. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And thank you all, everybody who gave me, Kel and I, both some great, great wishes about my perrito, my pooch. My girls don't know anything about it yet, so I'm not going to say a whole lot about it yet. Amen. But thank you for sharing that. It wasn't hard. Well, it wasn't easy putting them down, but you're all so gracious. Our church is so loving, and I love that. Amen. Thank you so much for that. I woke up this morning feeling like, man, I just want to worship, and I just want to be with the people of God, whether it's here in church or those of you online. I just wanted to be with you this morning. Thank you. Thank you for making sure that you declare that church is essential. Thank you for that. Thank you for that declaration. We're going to keep fighting this every step of the way, fighting the pandemic and everything else along with it. We've been studying the book of Nehemiah. We've been kind of preaching on the book of Nehemiah. And I was reading out of chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to chapter 4 of Nehemiah, or you can read it with us on the board here. Today's message is called Man Your Post. Everyone say, Man Your Post. Man Your Post. See, Nehemiah was being attacked left and right. He had a vision, and that was to build up what was already a foregone conclusion that it was worthless. And you know, some people think that America is at that place. Not me. I'm not one of them. I love my country. I love my state. I'm not giving up. We're going to fight for our country. We're going to fight for our people. We're going to fight for everything that is great in this place. We'll speak out against what we got to speak out against. Right? We can't stick our heads in the sand and pretend like nothing's going on around us, right? So we're going to fight against what we got to fight against, and we're going to fight against the injustices of this world, but are also going to stand up and face those things that are wrong, that are happening, like the defunding of police officers. We're going to fight that, and then we're going to speak up against that. Why? Because we're out to build a great church, a great country, and that's who we are. I want my granddaughters to grow up knowing the freedoms that I've known. I want your grandkids or great-grandkids to grow up knowing the freedoms that you know. And if we don't fight for them now, we're going to be in trouble. They're going to be in trouble in 20 years, should the Lord tarry. We can't disregard everything and say God is coming soon. Well, we know that. We know God is coming soon. And I'm ready if he should come in the next 20 minutes. If he should come in the next 10 minutes or next 10 seconds, I'm ready. How about you? I'm ready to go. I got Jesus in me. I know you do too. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't plan for the next 20 or 30 years. We need to plan as if he's going to tarry for the next 100 years. And we need to make sure that this country is a free country and this church is going to be here during that time. And we need to make sure of all those things. Amen. So when Nehemiah looked at the wall, he said it was burned with fire and was broken down. But God gave him a vision to rebuild it. And the moment that he got the Jews together and the families together, and they started to rebuild, attacks started coming from everywhere. You see, people didn't want to see Nehemiah do anything positive. They didn't want to see him rebuild the wall. They didn't want to see him rebuild the church. They didn't want to see him rebuild their lives. There's powers and principalities that are against you. Did you know that? Did you know that, folks at home? There are powers and principalities that are fighting against you. They don't want to see you have hope. They don't want to see you have visions of normal life again. They don't want to see you with visions of no masks in church. I can't wait for that day that we're not wearing masks and we're shoulder to shoulder and we can embrace again and we can hug again. Don't let that dream go. And don't allow that to go. I'm looking forward to that day where nobody's afraid to come out of their houses. I don't care how old or how many pre-existing conditions you have. But you can walk out of your house and feel like you're healthy and that you're protected. You see, that's a dream that we got to fight for still. That's a dream that we got to prepare for. Not just accept status quo, but fight for it. That's fighting for it. You got to fight for it. I got to fight for it. Come on, somebody. So Nehemiah's building the wall. Here's an update. He's building the wall, building his, if you would, country. Building his church, if you would, building the wall. And then attacks started coming left and right. So this is what he did. Therefore, he says, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I settled people according to their families with swords, spears, and bows. God bless your church. Bless us as we hear. Bless all those online who are watching, God, I pray. We worship you. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love that. So he says, therefore. Therefore means because something happened. Come on, somebody. Because something happened, therefore. So because there was attacks, the next scripture says, therefore. Therefore what? Therefore, because there was attacks, I set men in position. Because something happened, I set men in position. 10 times attacks came from other nations, and those aren't even the hard ones to deal with. Attacks from outside, you see them coming. You know what's difficult to see? Attacks from within. When they come from your own family members, they come from your own church members, they come from our own that we love. Sometimes people lose their way, and sometimes they hurt us, right? Those are the difficult ones, and this attack was coming from within. Not just from without, this attack was coming from within. So because of that, Nehemiah said, I took position, I took action. I set men in position. When the enemy attacks, we need to respond. I've been saying this for a while now. For years I've been saying this, actually. We are not just catchers, but we're throwers. We are not just created to catch hell, we're created to give hell everything we can. Did you hear that? We weren't created just to catch hell, catch everything that devil throws at us, but maybe it's time for us to start throwing everything at hell. The enemy says, the Bible says in John 10:10, we have an enemy that's like a roaring lion, but the scripture's clear, says like, not is. Listen, I don't want to be in a lion's den. And if I do, I trust God's going to close the lion's mouth. But I'm not choosing to go to Africa on a safari and hang out with the lions, because lions can cause damage. But the scripture calls the devil like. He says he's like a roaring lion. Not is. He's like. He's kind of a toothless lion. You know why I can say he's a toothless lion? Because at the cross, Jesus ripped out his teeth. He removed sting and death. He removed disease. At the cross, Jesus detoothed the lion. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen this morning. Even through your mask. You know, on a side note, there's some benefits to the mask. Don't get me wrong. I mean, come on. I know some people don't like them. No one likes them. I don't like them. But there's some benefits. You know what some of the benefits are? Can I take a minute and just tell you? What if you got broccoli in your teeth? Nobody will see it. You don't have to worry about bad breath for somebody. Here's one that I think is a benefit to me while I'm preaching. I don't got to see you yawn. Some of y'all, come on, man. Some of y'all, oh. Get your yawning done before you come to church. My brother Reuben, you know, I have his vest, and sometimes I wear it. He used to sit in the back way back there with all the prodigal sons and Reg and Chaplain Russell and Pastor Roy and all the prodigal sons. They hung out back there. But my brother, I would see him, and he's like this. I'm like, man, look at my brother. I'm thinking, I'm preaching. I'm thinking, look at my brother. My own flesh and blood. Come on. So after service, I go approach my brother. I say, Reuben, man, come on, stay awake in church. You know who would say to me? Well, turn it up a little. All right. That's my bro. That's my brother. The enemy's like a roaring lion, but he's been detoothed. You know, in the Navy, we have, how many sailors we have here? All right, one, two, few. Amen. Congrats. Thank you. Thank you for your service. I was reading up a little bit about that. I'm sporting my brother's Army platoon here. But I was reading up a little bit on the Navy when they're on ship. When there is an attack, you hear this. If you can go to the therefore our position slide, I appreciate that. When you hear it, they hear on the loudspeaker, general quarters, general quarters. A sailor knows what that means. It means man your battle stations. It means man your battle stations. General quarters, all hands on deck. Man your battle stations. That means take your position. It's time for war. Take your position. It's time to fight. Take your position. We are being attacked. Now, listen, you might not like a lot of what happens. You know, there's going to be a time where I'm going to be talking a lot about the presidential election come October. So I'm going to try to not to say so much about it now because, you know, it just not trying to separate anybody from us, but trying to speak truth. But one thing I do like about this president now, I love that he warned Iran. You come send your little boats to harass our ships, you're going to get blown out of the water. I love that fact. I love the fact that he refused to allow any of our sailors to be arrested and put on a boat and on their knees. I love that. I love that. I love that he had no problem blowing one out of the water. I love that he arrested a whole fleet of boats on their way to Venezuela, sent from Iran. They're now sitting over in San Diego and docked there. They arrested them and arrested the boat. So what am I saying? That somebody has to say, man your battle stations. Somebody has to say, man your station. And that's kind of that's what Nehemiah did when he started getting all these attacks. He said, man your battle station. You see, Israel had been catching for so long. They just came out of a 70-year captivity. And before that, they had gone into 400 years of captivity. So Israel had been catching hell for a long time. But Nehemiah said, I've had enough. Man your battle station. Take your position. Understand that you have power. Understand that you have authority. Understand that you can declare God's word. Understand that you can pray. Understand that you can speak and declare. Don't forget that we are the body of Christ and we have weapons of our warfare. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You are mighty. You are powerful. Your words, when you declare this book, come on, somebody, when you declare this book, it's powerful. When you praise God, it's powerful. When you worship the Lord, it's powerful, right? When you fellowship in ministry, it's powerful. When you're able to study, it's powerful. And when you pray, it's powerful. Listen, some things throughout this whole pandemic, I'm pulling out things that are positive. And one of the things I mentioned to you a minute ago, what's positive about the masks, kind of in a funny way. You know what else is positive? The battle cry. I've noticed that since we've been locked down and that whole season, last 3 months, starting in March, I noticed that the prayer warriors came together, not just here at church, what we call a prayer meeting, but now hundreds of prayer warriors are coming together by one little battle cry. By one battle cry online, all of a sudden everybody's praying. All of a sudden everybody's binding, everybody's loosening. I love that. I love that. So man your battle stations, stay connected, and keep warring in the spirit. You're making a difference. Amen? Man your battle stations. You are equipped for war. Notice that Nehemiah, he didn't just give them shields. He didn't just give them helmets. He didn't say, so I set people in position with shields. I set them in position with breastplates. I set them in position with helmets. That's not what the scripture says. It says, I set them in position with swords and with spears and with arrows. What does that say? What does that say? It says, I've had enough. I'm not gonna. If they were gonna still be in that defensive position, then he would have just given them helmets, breastplates, and shields, and said, "Oh, they'll go away. Just go ahead and block their words. Words, are just words. Just block what they say." That's not what he said. He said, "So I set them in position with swords and spears, ready to fight, ready to fight." Ready to battle. And I'm looking at warriors here today. I see all of you here today. You're fierce. You're mighty. You're warriors. Use your weapon. Amen. This is a mighty sword. Your voice is a mighty sword. Your prayers are mighty. You are fierce. You are powerful. You are powerful. Positioned for battle. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14, in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, let me read it for you. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the leaders and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Powerful. I love the next thing Nehemiah does is he addresses the leaders. He addresses the pastors. Jesus said himself, today I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Now, I know that's got a lot of prophetic meaning to it, but I want to speak to that notion of leadership. Jesus knew it. He said it. He quoted it. He said, strike the shepherd, the sheep will follow or scatter. Strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. There's an attack on leadership right now. There's an attack on pastors right now. There's an attack, and listen to me, we got to cover not just me, but pastors. We got to cover churches, right? We got to cover pastors in our nation right now. But not just that. Strike the leader, and the followers will scatter. Strike the father, and the sons and daughters will scatter. That's the word God gave me on this, because listen to me. Parents are getting discouraged. Moms are getting discouraged. Dads are getting discouraged. But I say to you, man your battle station. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your marriage. Fight. Don't give up just because you're getting hit on every side. Don't quit. I know it's hard economically. I know it's hard adjusting to this new lifestyle. It's hard when you turn on the news and you see all these horrible things happening in cities just 8 hours from us, Portland, Oregon. Man your battle station. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. I'm so committed to fighting for all of you, but I'm super committed to fighting for my granddaughters, for Moxie. I'm super committed to fighting for Stevie because it's their generation. One day, should the Lord tarry, one day, Moxie will walk down this aisle and get married. One day, Stevie will walk down this aisle and get married. One day, I won't be here anymore, but they're going to have babies, should the Lord tarry. What kind of a church am I going to lead them? What kind of a country am I going to lead them? Listen, I don't care what politician says what they want, and they can say anything they want. God is still in control. My God is still superior. God's word will not be shut down. We battle right now with some firsts. We do. We're battling with some firsts. My dad's generation battled with, what? They're going to kill a baby in the womb? Oh, that'll never happen here. Because of that, because of their negligence, we are dealing with 65 million plus babies murdered in the womb. I don't want Stevie's generation. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. You know, when my grandpa was preaching, there were some firsts. You see, one of the firsts that they saw was a baby can be aborted in the womb, but during my grandpa's post, he manned his position. A governor came out one time and said, not only can a mother kill the baby in the womb, but when the baby's born and she wants it to die, her and the doctor can kill the baby. Oh, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. All it takes is for them to say it one time. And then they'll say it again. And then they'll say it again. And before you know it, all of us will yawn and say, it's never going to happen. And then they'll vote for laws and they'll pass laws. That's how it happens, folks. Another first. You see, another first, if we don't say anything, Stevie and Moxie's generation, their grandkids, should the Lord tarry? Yeah, back in the day when my grandpa was preaching, the governor, first time ever in the country, in the history of the United States, think about that. The governor said, no singing. And I'm sad to say that many worship leaders have followed suit. I'm sorry to say many pastors and churches have followed suit and said, okay. Many denominational leaders have said, okay, we'll find other ways to, we'll worship quietly. One time. That's all it takes is one time. That's a first in our generation. So here's two firsts. Two firsts. Let me give you another first. Right now, there's a bill in California being written that is fighting to give transgender health laws. But that's how they screen it. If you keep reading in this bill, there's part of this new bill by California lawmakers that says, if a child as young as 8 years old is struggling with their identity, we can inject hormones in them and keep them from going into puberty. That's a first. I've given you three firsts. I'm saying to you, if we don't man our positions and fight those three firsts, in 10 years are going to be life, common life here. They're going to, in 15 years, it's going to be common life. Common life if we don't speak up and man our battle stations. Is somebody awake this morning? But Nehemiah said to the leaders, don't fear. Ooh, what a word that is for today. Sorry, this wire is bugging me. What a word that is for today. Don't fear. I've been gripped with fear. I've been gripped with fear. We all have at one point, right? Nobody wants to get sick. Nobody wants to die. And when politicians said to us early on, millions are going to die, well, who didn't have fear, right? Who didn't get afraid and stock up and store up toilet paper and food so we didn't have to go out? That was a scary, scary time. The truth is, that never happened. People have died. But there's some more truth that maybe you can Google and find out on your own, that anybody who dies now, they're slapping COVID tags on them because it benefits the government financially, benefits the hospitals financially. Don't take my word for it. You figure, you Google it and see if that's true. Check my words, snoop my words, or snope my words. I have no problem being snoped on. But he said to the leaders, to the nobles, to the pastors, don't be afraid. Man, what a word. Dads, don't be afraid. I know, moms, I know what you see in the world today is scary. Don't be afraid. God is still in control. God is still in control. Some liberal Democrats are fighting hard to take over our country. What if they do? God is still in control. God is still in control. What if they do? Well, then we'll fight harder for the next 4 years. We'll fight even more. We'll get even louder. God is still in control. So don't be afraid. You see, fear is a major, major tool of the enemy. Fear. Fear will grip you and cripple you. Fear will keep you from moving. Fear will keep you from worship. Fear will keep you from family. Fear will keep you from living. And that's the plan of the devil, to keep you from living. He'll keep you from living with fear. Fear. And it's like that fear. You know, since you've been already sick, Henry, come on up here. And now you're healed. And I got the antibodies. I got the antibodies, so I'll love on you all I want. Nobody's going to say a word, right? Come on. And on camera, let me just make it clear. He's been sick. He's got antibodies. I got antibodies. We're good. Don't trip. The enemy will continue to speak in your ear loudly and put fear in your heart to grip you and keep you from living. But somewhere, all you got to do is resist. That's all you got to do. Resist. Somewhere, you got to resist. Somewhere, you got to push back. Somewhere, you got to put your hand up. Right? When Corey was taking karate lessons as a little girl, that was the first thing that she was taught by Sensei Jason. Put your arm up. Hit their arm away. Resist a bully and they'll turn. Resist a bully and they'll turn. Come on, resist that fear that the enemy's trying to instill in your life. How do you do it? You push back. You push back. That doesn't mean you walk around pounding your chest. I'm not afraid of a virus. I'll be out of it. Come on, come on, come on. We got to use wisdom, right? We use wisdom. We use wisdom. Pushing back can mean getting on your knees and worship. I was blessed to see Pastor Gloria and the prayer team do a 24-hour prayer going on. Cal went in, she took 1 hour. I was like, where are you going? I thought she was going to bed early, but she's like, nope, I'm going in to pray. It's my hour. And she was pulling it down for an hour there. I love the fact that our people are praying. That's pushing back, right? Come on, that's pushing back. You know what else can be pushing back? Listen to me. You know what else can be pushing back? Is you getting healthy. Instead of staying at home and being afraid, do a push-up. Instead of two pieces of cake, eat one piece of cake. Something. Do something to push back. I'm not going to get up and pretend like I'm... You put a piece of cake in front of me, you're going to have issues trying to keep me from it. That's all there is to it. Some carne asada, I mean, woo. I sat down with some pozole yesterday. I said, where you been, old friend? I said, man. Woo. But we got to figure out how to push back, and if that can mean something to everybody, something. My point is, don't be afraid. Push back. Push back. Don't be afraid. Don't let this pandemic control you. You control it. Amen? And then in verse 15, look what it says. I'm going to wrap it up with this. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plan to nothing. I'm going to prophesy that over somebody right here, right now. The enemy has a plan to discourage you and to take you out, but God is going to bring it to nothing. God is going to bring it to nothing. The enemy has a plan to take out your son. God's going to bring it to nothing. The enemy has a plan to take out your daughter. God's going to bring it to nothing. God has a plan to take, or the enemy has a plan to take out your marriage. God's going to bring it to nothing. Come on, somebody prophesy that over somebody else right now. And then it says this, and that God brought their plan to nothing so that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his own work. And let me just say this to all my leaders, ministry leaders. You've been shut down since beginning of March. It's time to start getting back to work. I know the governor hasn't released us, but we've proven that we can take care of our people. Let's get back to ministry. Let's get back to having ministry. Pastor Gary is meeting on Monday nights. He's meeting on Monday nights here, New Life Recovery, which everybody has been impacted, but New Life was really impacted because you're dealing with people who have been clean for a week, and you're dealing with people who have been on the wagon or without alcohol for 40 years. But they need that community. So they've been meeting now for, I don't know, maybe a month, Pastor Gary, 5 or 6 weeks. Nobody's gotten sick. Everybody's good. Everybody's good. They returned to the wall. They returned to work. And I'm saying to you, CWC Life leaders, let's return to work. Let's figure it out. Let's figure it out. I mentioned to Kel, I said, Kel, can we have kids ministry outside under the tent with 6-foot tables and keeping all of our kids separated? But can we do that? And can we tell them a story about Jesus? Can we tell them about, I don't want Moxie growing up without hearing about Jonah and the whale. I don't want her growing up with that, like that. And if we continue this way, listen to me, there are some politicians who have said that we're going to stay in this way all the way to next summer. What's that doing to a generation, to the children? What's that doing to the children who don't have school, who don't have social connection? Fight for your families. Fight for your work. So they returned to their work. And I'm just saying, we got to start thinking about it. I don't say we're going to rush out and do everything right now, but we got to start thinking about it. We got to start thinking about getting back to life, getting back to normal. We got to start thinking about it and planning it. And if anything, just start dreaming about it again. Come on. Come on. Let's start dreaming about it again. And he says this in verse 17, those who built the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they held a weapon. What a picture that is, right? With one hand they were smoothing out the cement and one hand they had a sword. So go ahead. You think I'm not looking? I see you. Make your move. And that's the way the church has to be. The church can never sleep or slumber. The church can't get lazy. The church can't hide in fear. The church has to be bold and strong. And we have to carry our swords. Come on. Say unto the enemy, make your move. I see you. Make your move, toothless lion. I see you. And every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another. Does that sound familiar? The work is great, but we're all separated from each other. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally together. Come on. I want you to start seeing that again. Rally together. Even for now, if it's on Facebook, and we said that earlier, then rally together on Facebook. Pray. Somebody's in trouble, we rally together. We have a sounding cry, right? We have a rally cry. Praise God. And that's our voice. That's our rally cry. Together. We work this together. We are family. Could you stand to your feet this morning, church? Verse 21 says this, so we labored in the work, and half of the men held spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. I love that. From daybreak until the stars appeared. They took shifts. You are powerful. You are mighty. You are victorious. You have the victory, folks. You have the victory, folks. Yes, we're living in perilous times, but Jesus told us about times that we go through. He said there would be times like this. We don't have to catch hell and be catchers. We've been equipped with swords, with spears. Let's use them. Let's use them. Let's take authority in the name of Jesus. Let's bind and rebuke. Amen? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that needs prayer? I want to pray for you right now. Maybe online you need prayer and just say, yes, I need prayer. Pastor Henry's watching. Others people are watching online right now. If you need prayer, just tell them. If you're online, just say, yes, can you pray for me? Anybody here? I know we're not making altar calls just yet, but we're talking about it, marking off X's at the altar 6 feet apart so I can bring you up and at least make altar calls. You won't have to do that. Those who aren't comfortable, but some are, and if you need prayer, I won't lay hands on you just yet, but at least I can have you come to an altar and pray with you at the altar and have an altar call. Just start thinking about normalcy again. Start thinking about it. Start fighting for it. That's all I'm asking. With every eye closed, in the name of Jesus, maybe you're going through something pretty difficult right now, going through something pretty heavy, and you just need prayer. There's nobody looking around right now, and one big altar call, let me pray for you. Just raise your hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. Yep. Hands all over this place. Wow. Hands all over this place. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Have your way. Right now, Holy Spirit, have your way. Every hand that was lifted, I just feel led to say to you that he calls himself the lifter of your head. So maybe you've been hanging your head low. Maybe you've been distraught. Maybe you've been depressed. Maybe you've been sad. He says, I'm the lifter of your head. I am. So why don't you embrace Jesus right now? Embrace Jesus right now. He's the lifter of your head. Embrace him right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for healing. Thank you for supernatural healing. Thank you, God, for healing us, even all of us who are together, even in our homes right now, are watching it on the device right now. May the Holy Spirit just break through your phone and may you sense his presence by this word of encouragement. In the name of Jesus. 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 Be strengthened, leader. Be strengthened, mom. Be strengthened, dad. Be strengthened, husband. Be strengthened, mother, wife. In the name of Jesus. Grandma, be strengthened right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. He's right there with you. Just receive that strength. Receive that word in Jesus' name. Come on, just say, I receive it. I receive it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Well, how many love the Lord with all of your heart today? Yes, amen. I do too. I do too.